Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Shuvah. So you have a special Haftorah that talks about Shuvah. Obviously it fits in this time of year, right? Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, so it's time of doing Shuvah. But the fact that it's established that the Shabbos is called Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Shuvah, it tells you that there's some connection between Shabbos and doing Shuvah. Or let's put it this way, there's a certain type of Shuvah that's more Shabbistic. There's a certain type of tshuva which is vachadik, the sort of a weekday type of tshuva. And then there's a type of tshuva which is more Shabbistic. What does that mean? So I'll share with you a fascinating medrash. Medrash says that, you know, after Adam and Chava sinned, so they were kicked out of Gan Eden, then there's a whole maisa with Cain and Hevel, right? That Cain is jealous of Hevel, and Cain kills Hevel. So then the Rebbeinu Shlom confronts Cain. He says, you know, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, the whole story. And then eventually Hashem Yisbarach, you know, Cain makes it out alive of that conversation, but he's punished. He has to go wandering through the earth and so on. But at least he survives. So Medrash says the following thing. Medrash says, Paga by Adam Rishon, that after that conversation with Hashem, so Adam, his father, meets Cain, meets his son. Vamrloy, and Adam asks his son Cain, Ma nasa bedincha, nu? So what was the psak? What was the verdict? What did Hashem say? Amrlei, so Cain says to him, Asisi tshuva, I did tshuva, v'nis basharti. I mean, the Rabbanu Shlom, we came up with a compromise. That I wouldn't be killed, but I'll be punished. We compromised. Hischol adam rishon mitapech alpana. So the Medrash says, adam rishon began to smack himself. And he said, kachi kaichol shel tshuva, that's how great tshuva is. Ilo yisideh, if only I knew, that's how tshuva would have, that's what it says. Miyad amad adam rishon al raglo, so immediately adam stands up, and he says, mizmer shir liyoy ma'shabas, a song of Shabbos, it is good to do tshuva, lahodos, like in tshuva. Tov lahodos Hashem, it's good to do tshuva on Shabbos. So a bunch of questions. First of all, what does it mean that Cain, that Adam says, like, if only I knew? Chazal say that he spent, that immediately after he did tshuva, the next 130 years he did tshuva, if only I knew. What do you mean? He knows about tshuva. What does it mean that Cain says, I did tshuva and we made a pshara, I made a compromise with Hashem? What does that mean? How do you make a compromise? What does it even mean? And what does it have to do with Shabbos? Adam's response to all of this is, Mizmar Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Okay. So let me share with you another Chazal that talks about Adam after he sinned. So also, Adam sins, he eats from the tree, and Hashem confronts Adam. And Hashem asks Adam, did you eat from that tree that I told you not to? And Adam admits, he says, I ate from it. Now the language that he uses is, the woman that you gave me from the fruit, the ochel, and I ate. But it's interesting, in Hebrew, the word for I ate in past tense is usually achalti, past tense. The ochel means I will eat in the future. Now the vav makes it past also, but it's a funny way to say it. Say chazal, the achalti in ksivkan. Adam didn't say I ate in the past. Ella, the ochel, I will eat. Achalti, meaning Adam is saying to Hashem Yisbarach, Achalti, I ate, Bochel, and I'm going to eat weiter. I'm going to continue eating. I'm not going to stop. It's a crazy thing. Hashem is confronting you. You know, what does that mean? And you're not even willing to say, I'm not going to do it again. Say you're not going to do it again. How could Adam say, I'm going to continue doing it? So it's like this. Reb Tzedek HaKoyanov Lublin explains like this. What does it mean Adam was saying that I ate and I'm going to continue eating? It means Adam was saying to himself, listen, Rebbeinu Shlom, I have to be honest. The truth is that if the Yetzirah got the better of me when I didn't even have a Yetzirah, right? If before the sin, the Nachash was evil incarnate, and the Nachash was outside of me, if an external Yetzirah was able to convince me of doing this Aveir of eating from the tree, then now that I have a Yetzirah from within, of course I'm going to continue doing it. And what Adam was saying to Rebbeinu Shlom is, Hashem, I can't do tshuva. I can't say I'm sorry. I can't say I won't do it again. I know I will. The Rambam famously writes, what is tshuva? The Rambam says, tshuva is she'yazav echot echeto, that the sinner has to stop sinning. That's number one. V'yasod v'machshav, to make a complete decision, intellectually, emotionally, that he's not going to do this again. V'yoyd olav yideh tumas, and says the Rambam, what is tshuva? Tshuva is only when the one that knows all secrets, the Rebbeinu Shlom, is able to testify that you're not going to do it again. And if the Rebbeinu Shlom can't say that, and if you can't say that, that's not called tshuva. So what the Rambam is telling us is a very harsh thing, which is that for tshuva to be real, it has to, the person has to be able to say, "I'm not going to do this again," and they have to mean it in every fiber of their being. Adam is saying, "I can't say that. I can't say that because listen, I know how geshmak was seen from that tree, and I'm telling you, probably tomorrow, the next day, I'm going to want to do it again. So what am I going to say? I'm going to give you lip service. I'm going to make a baloney. I'm going to say chatasi, ashamnu, bagam. I'm going to, you know, say all the vidur. I know that tomorrow I'm going to want to do that there. So what am I doing? So achalti voichal. I ate and I'm going to continue eating. I can't do tshuva like that. But then he meets Kayin. And his son Kayin says to his father, "I did tshuva and I came up with a compromise with Hashem." You know what that means? Says Rav Tzedakah Kohen of Lublin, Chazal say that when Kayin said to Hashem Yisbarach, Kayin said, "God l'avoy menesai, Hashem, my sin is so great, to bear, I can't bear it, I'm so sorry, I feel so bad." Chazal say that Kayin said it, but he didn't really believe it so much. Meaning Kayin also had the same thing. If Hevel was around, I'd probably still kill him again. And Hashem Yisbarach hears those words from Hevel, which is lip service, "I'm sorry, but I kind of know in my own heart that I really would do it again, probably." And Hashem Yisbarach maybe doesn't wipe the veer clean altogether, but they come up with a compromise. What was clarified to Adam, what Adam realized at that moment is that of course the Rambam is right, that real tshuva 100% is where the person is able to say, "I'm never going to do this again," and they mean it with 100% sincerity. But what Kayin showed his father is that even if a person says they're sorry to Hashem Yisbarach, and says, I don't want to do that avera. Or better that, they say, I want to do that avera, right? I want to be someone that doesn't do this. But I know that I am. What am I supposed to do? And I know that tomorrow after Yom Kippur, you know what I mean? I'm probably going to be the same guy. Hashem Yisbarach says, I'm a kabbal. I take that. We'll come up with a compromise. It'll work somewhat. Is it the Rambam's tshuva? Maybe not. But it's something. And Adam says, Ilu Yisidea. If I knew that, I thought tshuva is all or nothing. I thought it was the Rambam, that's it. I have to get to a point of where the Rabbanu Shalom can testify I'm never going to do it again, and if I'm not there, I might as well keep my mouth shut. What am I supposed to do? So I'll eat and I'll eat it again. Kayin revealed to Adam that there's a level of tshuva which is not 100%. There's such a thing as a middle ground of tshuva. There's such a thing as what? As doing tshuva, where you're saying the right words, you're saying, "I don't want to do this again," and even you say, I won't do it ever again, when really, you probably will. And that's also called tshuva, and that works. How is that? So where does that tshuva come from? It's not authentic, right? So Adam Rishon stands up on his feet, and he says, "Mizmer shir liyom ha-Shabbos." What does Shabbos have to do with this? You know what Shabbos is? Shabbos is a day where the deeper truth of who we are comes out. You know, there's a famous halacha. The halacha is, again, very, very quickly, the halacha is that for a husband to divorce his wife, so the divorce document has to be given with his own consent, right? He can't be forced to do it, right? If there's a happy marriage and someone comes to the husband with a gun to his head and says, "Give your wife a divorce," it simply doesn't work. He can't. Unless he wants to, it doesn't work. It has to be given midas. It has to be given from his own consent. But here's the following scenario. Let's say the marriage is not 100%. Let's say he's married to someone he's not allowed to marry, right? Something like that. And Bezdin, the Jewish court, according to halacha, comes and says to the guy, "Listen, you have to divorce your wife." He's like, "I don't want to." So the halacha is Bezdin is able to beat him up and keep a gun to his head until he does it. It's not a good idea nowadays, but such a thing is possible, right? And it works. So the question is, what's the difference between the non-Jew coming to a gun to his head to a happily married guy and Bezdin doing it to a guy that he's supposed to get divorced? What's the difference? So says the Rambam. The Rambam explains. In the case of the Bezdin, since the Torah says he has to get divorced, that means in the deepest part of who he is, he wants to get divorced. Because the deepest part of a Jew doesn't want to do an aver. The deepest part of a Jew wants to do the right thing. No? So what is it? There's the deepest layer of who he is, which wants to give a get. Then there's the outer layer, which is the guy has a Yetzar and he doesn't even know himself, really. And so he thinks he wants to remain, in a life of sin. If Bezin is able to get him to say the words, "I want to divorce my wife," even if he doesn't mean it, that outermost expression of "I want to" fits with his innermost desire of really wanting to. And if the outermost level and the innermost level match each other, that's good enough. Even if in between there's the Yetzer Hara, that's okay. This is the idea of Shabbos. The reason why the Kayin type of tshuva works, again, the guy's saying, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this again, even though he kind of, even right now, wants to do it again. Right? And he probably will. So why does that tshuva work? The answer is because in the deepest part of who he doesn't want to do it again. And the deepest part of who a Jew is, every Jew wants to do the right thing. No, what is it? The Yitzhar gets the better of us, and it makes us not realize who we are. So therefore, the concept is, just like the Rambam says with giving a get, if the person can say the right words, which are, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this again, even if there's a part of him that doesn't believe that, but the deepest part of who he is does believe it. And as long as the deepest part of who you are and the outermost expression, your words, fit, that's good enough. The Rabbanu Shalom's response is, we'll make a compromise, let's make a deal, because at least you're saying something that fits with the deepest part of who you are. There's one day of the week where the deepest part of who a Jew is more comfortable to express itself, and that's Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of truth. Shabbos is a day where the deepest part of who we are comes a little bit more to the surface. Therefore, it's specifically Shabbos that gives the Jew the ability to do tshuva halfway. Halfway. Again, the Rambam's version of tshuva is, if the guy doesn't mean it 100% through and through, then it's fake. It's a baloney. It's nothing. But Shabbos, which is a day of truth, Shabbos is a day where it becomes a little bit more clear that although the Jew is not doing the right thing and he's thinking the wrong thing, in the deepest part of who he is, he wants to do the right thing. And so Shabbos, therefore, gives us the ability of having this new phenomenon, which is a half-baked tshuva. Tshuva that you say the right things while you don't really believe it yourself, but it works because the deepest part of who you are does believe it. And Shabbos is a day where the deepest part of who you are that actually does believe it emerges. The Gemara says, for example, it's Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that if, let's say, you have a person who is classified as an Amharetz, Amaris is a Jew he's from, but he doesn't know much. He doesn't take Yiddishkeit too seriously. So such a person, you have a hard time with his kosher, right? You never know. Like the guy says it's kosher, but he doesn't know what kosher means. He doesn't really, you know, he knows that you have a higher standard, but he doesn't really care too much. So you can't really trust him. Says the Gemara, but on Shabbos, even such a Jew you can trust. Eimas Shabbos al Amaris. The fear, the Yerushimayim, Shabbos changes even in Amaris, someone who's not so careful with the truth, Shabbos, the truth comes out. Shabbos is a day of truth. Shabbos is a day where the deepest part of who we are is a little bit more real. It's a little bit more real. And because it's more real, because it's more pronounced on Shabbos, as long as we say words that fit with that deeper truth, asisi tshuva nispasharti. Yom Kippur is also like this. Yom Kippur describes a day of Shabbos Shabbosing. Shabbos of Shabboses. The whole process, Shabbos Shuva. So he asked in the beginning, like, why does Shuva have to do with Shabbos? The answer is, Shabbos is an unbelievable gift. Because what Shabbos does is that it gives us a way of doing Shuva, even if it's not 100%. That you don't have to have only the Rambam's version of where God can testify you're never going to do it again. Even without that, Shabbos comes and says, there's such a thing as doing Shuva, and we'll cut a deal. We'll work something out. Why? Because I know, says Shabbos, in the depths of who you are, you're a good guy. I know that. And so, it's hard as this stuff. There's Achim, there's all sorts of confusion. But who you are, Bamas, I know who you are, Bamas. And therefore, as long as you say words that fit with that deeper truth, we'll figure something out. That's what Shabbos is. And Yom Kippur is that on steroids. Again, as I said, Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of Shabbos. Yom Kippur is the truth on steroids. Yom Kippur is the all truth comes out. And therefore, the Avodah of Yom Kippur, say a shamnu, say you're sorry, do all of that stuff, even if you don't really mean it. Say it. Say it. And daven to God and pray to God that eventually at some point you should mean it. And don't think for a second that because you don't really mean it sincerely, it doesn't work. It's not true at all. There is such a thing as doing tshuva, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, okay, let's make a deal. You have something I want called your soul. You have something I want called a good year. Let's make a pshar, let's make a compromise. That's how compromises work. Everyone has something that the other one wants. That's the Koyach of Shabbos, that's the Koyach of Yom Kippur. Don't underestimate just simply saying the words, I'm sorry. Don't underestimate simply saying the words, I don't want to do this again, the Rabbanu Shalom, please forgive me. Even if you yourself know that in 20 minutes from now, after Yom Kippur, you're going to go back to the same routine. It doesn't matter. The words themselves are significant. Don't underestimate that. By saying the right words on a day of truth, on a day where the deeper part of who you are, which is holy, is more manifest, when you say holy words on that day, the Rabbanu Shalom accepts it, just like that get of the Rambam. Even if the guy says the right words, because deeply he wants to do the right thing, it works. So the same thing was with the Kayach of Yom Kippur. Let me end off a quick maisa. This might not have much shaychus, but it's a good story to think about when it comes to Yom Kippur. There was a maisa of a certain chassid, and he was traveling to his rabbi for Yom Kippur. I don't remember which, maybe it was a Kishnitzer Magid, I don't remember 100%, but he was going to his tzaddik for Yom Kippur. He was all excited, he's planning days in advance, you know what I'm saying, with all the chevras, it's going to be gevalik, it's the whole thing, fine. And he gets to the town, and it was a long journey, it took a few days, so he's very tired. He gets to a certain town, and he goes to a friend of his house to have the Suda, Erev Yom Kippur, right, to get ready for the fest. So they're all excited, you know, they're going to be by the Rebbe, it's a whole thing, and there's a lot to eat, and there's a lot to drink. And the guy maybe has a little bit too much to drink. And he looks outside to himself, you know what, I got about a half hour till Kol Nidre. Let me go lay down for a little bit just to get some strength, and then I'll go into Kol Nidre Geshmak, you know, fine. So he sits down, he lays down in his bed, he says to himself, just a half hour, 40 minutes, then I'll get to shul. And fine, he goes to sleep, he wakes up, he looks outside, it's getting a little bit dark, so he figures, okay, maybe he's a little bit late, but he'll run to shul. He gets to shul, they're about to start Nilu. The guy completely slept through Yom Kippur. He mamish missed it. He was so tired. He drank a lot. So now he thinks to himself, all right, banish the whole Yom Kippur. I mamish slept the whole Yom Kippur. What am I going to do now? So he said to himself, you know what? I slept the whole Yom Kippur. At least I have Ne'ilah. I'm going to put everything I have into this Ne'ilah, and that's all I have, right? All I have is Ne'ilah. So that's what he did. So everyone's davening Ne'ilah, and he's doing it, and he's davening hard and screaming and yelling. After Ne'ilah is over, it's the Rebbe. The Rebbe pulls him over and he says, I don't know who you are, but let me tell you something. There was a gezeira hanging over the tzibur, the community, Klal Yisrael, from Rosh Hashanah, and I was doing everything I could to undo it. I couldn't do it. I started to make tshuva, Yom Kippur, nothing was doing. Until, all of a sudden, I looked around by Ne'ilah, and you know, by the time Ne'ilah comes, everyone's already pretty tired, right? You're running just on adrenaline at that point. You know, there's only so much energy you have, but you, I don't know where you got the kaychas from. But your Ne'ilah was mamish. You had so much energy, like it was Kol Nidre. I don't know how you did it, but somehow all the energy that you put into your Ne'ilah, you're mevatel l'gzeira. Such a thing. So never underestimate. A guy could be sleeping, I mean, half asleep. Don't underestimate saying the right words. Don't underestimate, you know, if there's any point of davening where you feel like, you know, you can put your karchas into it. You pour your karchas into it, and it doesn't make a difference. You have no idea what we can be piled, what others can be piled. So Hashem Yisbaruch should bless each and every one of us. We should all have a Gemar Chesim, a Toiva, a good year, a year of Yishva Das, a year of Menuchas HaNefesh, a year of Hatzlacha, a year of truth, Begashmias, Baruchnias, Vias Gal Tzedek, Mher V'Meinu, Amen.
Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem.